Blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Well, it being sort of the end of the year, I was sort of reflecting on the year, and it's from some part of this person's experience would describe it as the oddest year.
The oddest.
The oddest. Mm-hmm. And what I was looking at is that I was talking in group a couple of weeks ago about how there's someone who just clearly sees things and is choosing to choose life and going along, and then there's someone hanging on behind screaming no. And I was looking more at that, and what it's more like is that there's been some kind of shift at the awareness level. There's some much more willingness to be present and pay attention and go along with life and say yes, and what it feels like that the physical being, the mental, emotional, physical being has not caught up with that.
So there's a sense of awareness and clarity and just willingness to go along with life, and an awareness that the form, we might say, is holding back, resisting, clinging to
sort
of illusions,
still trying to live the life she created.
The alternative reality.
The alternative reality, yeah. The way it ought to be.
Yes.
You know? And I think as a result of that, I've just had the oddest bunch of physical things going on all year long. And I think it's just that. It's just, there's something I read a few weeks back that quoted a little piece of from the Carlos Castaneda teachings of Don Juan, is that right? Books, and how the guy, the teacher, was saying something to him about when you reach a new assemblage point, is what they called it, you know, like a new level of consciousness. It can be experienced as killer anxiety.
Killer anxiety.
And I thought, they're talking about what's been going on.
You could relate to
I could relate to that, you know, and it just feels like there's been tremendous movement in some way and tremendous non-movement in another way.
Resistance to movement, it sounds like.
Right, yeah. But not so not real conscious. You know, it almost feels like the conscious part of me has kind of gone with the movement, but
the unconscious
part of me, the physical form, the It's not coming to me.
Sounds like the experience within the physical form is that killer anxiety.
Yeah.
And
other odd.
Because of course that illusion doesn't really have a body.
Right. Right.
But it's able to have a big impact.
It is. It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just watched myself as I looked at that go in and out of, oh my God, I can't stand this, and you know, oh well. What a ride, you know? I mean, to be sort of absolutely fine with this is what we seem to have to be going through.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the next day it's like, I need this, you know, this needs to stop.
I need this to go away.
I need this to go away now.
Yeah. And so as you kind of look back over this odd year, where do you arrive today? What do you see as you reflect on?
That just came up immediately when you said that was gratitude.
Yeah. Which is such a different feeling from, I need this to change. Just gratitude.
Just gratitude for all.
For all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is a nice place to be.
Yeah, and that place of being able to describe the duality, essentially, the all of that from a place of seeing it and then being in gratitude.
Yes. Thank you.
That's where you end the year.
It just feels like it's been a really rich time. Rich time for practicing. Sort of along those same lines, just see if I can even express it. Looking at that, there is a possibility that so a lot of experiences and sensations, etc., happen during the day to this being, and they're filtered through personalities. There's just this tendency to look at stories that arise with that interpretation.
So there's sensations, there's events, whatever happens, and they get moved through different personalities, different perspectives.
Right, and just, there's just been a very long-standing tendency to look at those stories, interpretations, and as reality.
Mm-hmm. Kind of universal.
And you know, there's just really been a tendency to, you know, be caught up in, not doing it right. This is too hard.
Stories about how things shouldn't be the way they are, and there's a better way for them to be. There's a better way for you to be.
And just because of some guidance I got recently, looking at the possibility that that's not a very good judge. It's not a very good barometer.
Can't be trusted.
It can't be trusted for what's really going on. It's really, it just throws open the doors to be in that possibility, it's focusing the attention. You know, it's like there are moments throughout the day and throughout life when, you know, life just informs and that's, that being the more real experience of those moments of just being connected to life and to start focusing the attention on that experience
And on that, can you say a little bit more about
on the experience of, I guess, when there's no I present, when there's just the swarm of life, and what that feels like to just have life move through.
To be seeing, first of all, how it feels. And then seeing that you have the possibility of choosing that.
Yeah, choosing to be in that place instead of the story. And that, in fact, that story is, seems so silly to hear it over and over again, but you know, in fact, that story is not true, it's an illusion.
Yeah.
And it's like all of that striving to, well, I'm almost there, you know.
Yeah. You know, just the striving that happens within the story.
Story, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It, this shifted a little bit. That's just that. I just, you know.
Right.
And to, you know, that's the place of suffering. It's optional. Yeah. It can be dropped.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't inform at all. Anything
doesn't
useful.
Have any useful information.
It has no useful information.
Yeah.
And how real it feels. How real that can feel.
Mm-hmm.
And how freeing it is to drop it and to realize, oh my gosh, that's everything is. There is no problem.
There is no, really is no
there
problem.
Is, there really isn't any problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like for you, the experience, the felt experience of being in the moment without the story,
yeah,
you recognize that, how different that is from being out of the moment in the story.
Yes.
That there's a feeling difference that you can apply as you practice.
You know, there's really a whole sensation, or set of sensations, mm-hmm. that are in the body that are connected with that moment of just being in tune with life, and then that next moment of having that whole experience interpreted.
Yes.
And just
means something.
And just,
with the meanings comes a whole different set of sensations.
Yeah, and just so drained, or just, you know, not questioning, and just so trained to go to that whole meaning thing is what this being is experiencing, rather than the original, just
there's the information,
aliveness.
Yeah. And those contrasts are really part of what, in my experience, part of what helps sort of boost the ability, the recognition to make a different choice.
Yeah. Which I have to, I'm on a homework assignment right now to look at ever-expanding faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a big leap of faith for this person, at least, you know, to drop that whole story about what needs to be fixed and you know what needs to be controlled and what needs to be planned and what needs to be and to just let that be informed by life. Yowza.
Yowza. Yeah. Recognizing for yourself that the process you're going through of seeing the other alternative and recognizing the choice is for you a faith builder.
It is a faith builder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it is that place of building trust.
Mm-hmm.
And what the heart knows to be true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the heart has always known that to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But just that, it seems so hard, but you know, that story is looked at as a kind of like a lifeline, you know.
Which is really interesting.
Isn't that?
A lifeline.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is just the opposite.
Yeah.
It's the deadline.
Mm-hmm. And it's a killer. It's the killer anxiety line.
And yeah, you know, just that, as if life is going to let me down if I really fall into trusting him.
Yeah.
Somehow it's going to drop with the ball.
Sounds kind of absurd.
But I just had to say it out loud.
I think it's great to say it out loud because then we can see.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Yowza.
What it felt like an experience, a little bit of what was just being referred to, that, you know, where life is going and mm-hmm. what the story is. I heard this particular, I feel pretty enlightened person, I think, a little while ago say, you know, stories always lead us away from who we are. They never lead us to who we are. Mm-hmm. I found that really helpful as an image.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's some, the content is that we're caring for a neighbor's cat. And so the other night we were off to have dinner with a friend, with some friends, and went to feed the cat, and the cat got out. The cat's not supposed to.
You're caring for a cat that's supposed to
be in at night. Yes. And so, it was one of those sort of Keystone Cops chases, you know, and it was totally fruitless. So anyway, worked out something where somebody went to the dinner and somebody didn't, and eventually the cat came. And what was so interesting to watch, it was one of those moments where I could watch the story be that I was really ticked off, you know, and kind of felt put upon and put out. And if I checked in with what I was actually experiencing, I was absolutely fine.
Uh-huh.
It was so interesting. And I
quite a contrast, isn't it? Yeah.
And I would catch that, you know, I'd start the conversation. The conversation would start, and I would get engaged. And then all of a sudden I think, I actually don't feel that way. You know, it was so clear and so, it was really kind of funny.
It's a great moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great moment. It's just like, so this is the habitual story.
Yes.
That my plans have been interrupted. And,
I
was trying to do this, I was trying to do this nice thing, and then it turned bad, and actually, in the midst of it all, when I would check in, I was absolutely fine mm-hmm. with whatever happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was just such a helpful check-in, and it was one of those great moments where you can see the contrast. You know?
Yeah. It seems, too, like it makes it so clear that all of that isn't you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's simply story that probably is very familiar. You just plug in a different content.
Yep. And literally watch the story take me away from my experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the story, it's not just even that it's innocuous, uh-huh. it's that it takes me away from uh-huh. what's real.
Yeah.
You can see that happen.
Yeah.
And then it's a sort of a sequel. Then what the story wanted to do is say, well, I know it's going to happen tomorrow. And I'll be ready.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't happen. You know, one of the great things about dealing with animals is they don't do what you expect. And so everything that I have expected each day has not happened. And that's been really great, too.
You know, yeah, because there you are in the story of whatever the expectation is.
Right. Uh-huh. And then can catch, you know, this is absolutely invented. It has nothing to do with the moment. And so it's been just one of those little gifts that points to the much larger story versus experience.
Yes.
Experience. Yeah.
Yeah. The lies. We keep
lies.
Discovering it, and then we keep falling for them, and then we discover it, and
Yeah. And seeing more and more how I can use getting it that I'm in a conversation
mm-hmm.
as the red flag to say, oh, wait, check in. It's time to check in.
Yeah.
And and once I do that, once I check in, then it's so simple.
Yeah.
And the conversation is so gnarled and complicated,
mm-hmm.
and stepping out of it is just always so clear and simple.
Yeah.
So that's been really helpful too.
Do you have a sense of what allowed you to see that, to get that flag?
Just beginning, you know, just years of practice.
Years of practice.
Oh, here I am again, you know, and And I think it's the conversation has become uncomfortable and unpleasant, mm-hmm. as opposed to compelling.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that helps me to see it. And I just get it. If all this stuff is going on, then something's up that has nothing to do with what's real. Because what's real isn't complicated. It doesn't have all that drama.
It doesn't have all those complications.
Yeah. It doesn't have all those voices.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just that, just becoming familiar with that. As oh yeah.
Yeah.
I know what that is.
Yeah, and one of the things you said that seems really key to it too is oh here I am again.
Mm-hmm.
That as we watch the stories, we do recognize the patterns, and that makes it easier to see the story when they circle back around, which they always do.
They always do, and they're really, it's a very limited supply.
It is, truly.
Thank you.
I was watching something too. I can really relate with a story coming in that's not true anymore, but it's like my body takes the posture and I'm believing it, but I'm not believing it. And it's always, it seems like it's to keep me separate from mm-hmm. other people or life or the thing that I'm doing into this, and I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching something. I too am really, really grateful for practice. The image that was coming to me, we're big into Harry Potter and Star Wars right now in our house.
Okay.
And so the thing I think about both those things, stories, is that they had tools to, and so anyway, so I had this experience last night of lying down to go to bed, and self-hate came on, but it, you know how if it comes on at the wrong time? But it came on in full force at the wrong time.
Yeah, oh, it's so
but
good,
on full force,
it?
Like, I mean, it's descending, the uh-huh. sensations are, I'm a schmuck, and I had just created a Christmas. Spent a lot of time making it fabulous, and laid down in bed and saw what self-hate does to people without tools. And I had great gratitude because it pulled out every single stop in the book of not enough, how come, why, who are you to think, you know. And it really didn't take much time at all because I think I described to you guys a few weeks ago where I was on that airplane flight where for 4 hours I was flying and the sign didn't go off and there was no alternative but to breathe. And I thought, you know, there is no alternative in this situation.
Uh-huh.
And there is, you know, it's like, we're pulling out your wand or whatever. It was just like, this is it.
Yeah.
I know a way quickly through this.
You know the magic.
I do. I know the magic.
Yeah.
And I don't have to, you know what, and it didn't stay. I mean, it was just like, but it felt like when I was in it, it would stay. You know, if I didn't have the tool or a little teeny bit of whatever, it was all true and it would stay and I would feel this way forever.
It could have ruined your Christmas.
It could have ruined my Christmas,
else.
My year, my life. You know, it's just it's just amazing the power that self-hatred, you know, and I don't think, and it was, I would call it self-hatred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't, I don't have that clear of a experience of self-hatred like I did before practice in my life today. And so that was one thing that I was watching. And then I was also watching how I have to practice in every single moment. So it's not like on the airplane, oh wow, whoo, breathe through that one.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just sailing off into, or now last night, okay, breathe through that one, because then at 1:10, one person comes in. Oh, Mom, I'm up, you know, can I go? You know, I'd had a big talk about
can I start opening?
It's at 5:30. So last year, David got up at 11, and then he realized what time it was.
He
and I'm like, Santa's here! Well, David, Santa was here, but you're not going to come back. So Lassa had the long talk. I said, okay, here we go. I planned it out. And David's like, but what if I wake up and I can't get back to sleep? I said, just come get me, because I know that he'll lay there and lay there. So I climb in the bed with him, and I rub his back, and everything in me, it's similar to what was described, is telling me what a horrible experience it is.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. It was not a horrible experience. Yeah. And I love, is anyone here who hasn't done that? Well, somebody might not. Anyway, the
people
words.
People that here are
yeah,
photos.
Yeah, that's right, they're public. Anyway, these words that I learned on retreat, I just started sort of saying all of the, you know, kind of blessing, you know, uh-huh. with peace and love and compassion and joy, you know, all those things. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, he has faded off to sleep. And so then he's in the top bunk bed. So I have to get out of the top bunk without looking so and so finally, you know, I counted a certain amount of time. So then, but it was all fine. So it's all fine. I'm fine. I crouch back into bed. 3:40. Child number two comes in.
Oh, I love it.
This is Clara. You know, she's older, right? Well, Mom, you know, my nose has stepped up. Or, you know, I mean, do you want me to come in? Well, old husband, though, is snoozing away. just kidding. Yeah, that was, you know, the initial, it's just fascinating to me that the initial thing and what I would believe without practice is, you gotta be kidding, I'm up all night.
Yeah.
Why me?
Why not him? Exactly. Too tired to, you know, shove him and he fades asleep, I think. Anyway, so I climb up into the bed. And I am a little bit like, oh, Clara, you know, I've been up. Because she's older. She wasn't young. You know, she's more of a, I hook in with her identity more, I notice. Mm. So I'm like, oh, you know, I've been up. I gotta go back to sleep. And I only said that much. And then I caught it.
You realized
it. Wait a minute,
it was,
is that so? Is that true? Well, it is true that I was up a little bit. But is it true that I have to be like, you know, and so then same thing, you know, I'm just rubbing her hair. And you know, I don't really get to spend that kind of time with her because she's 12. She's like practically a grown up now. In our house at least. She's not really, but anyway, as far as like lying there, rubbing your hair, you know, rubbing your hair.
Getting to baby her.
Getting to baby her, and enjoying it.
Yeah.
And you know, then by that time I'm kind of awake, and I don't know if I thought I could sleep, but my head was over. She has this loft bed, so my hand's like right by the thing, and pretty soon I feel, she's on the side of me. I'm like, it's David's like, it's 5:18, Mom. I said, well, is it 5:30? Get up here. Like, 2 minutes later, it was Sophie's. Do we have to wait till 5:30? Yes, I can't move. But I was truly enjoying it, you know, and it wouldn't, if I didn't have, you know, that wand or that lights, you know, that skill of the lightsaber, I would believe something that isn't true.
Right.
I would believe that is not supposed to happen. And actually, that's exactly what's supposed to happen.
Of course.
You
know,
hear about kids. That's what happens. Exactly.
This is it.
Yeah. That's my big thing.
It's so neat because it's really easy to project that had you gone into the story, as so many people wind up doing, probably the rest of the day would have been a little
unpleasant. Had I stayed in the story.
Yeah.
Had I stayed in the story. And
Christmas
I
is miserable, why do we keep
doing
blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
Instead of...
Yeah. And I would have missed it. You know, when I'm identified, and I notice, you know, going in and out of a sitting, you know, it's just, you know, I don't hear things, and my face scrunches up, and I tighten my body, and... Then, and in meditation, I watch this too. You know, when I leave, it's tight and I don't hear the water. And then I come back and I can hear the water again.
Yeah.
And I go, you know, and
it's so neat to see that, isn't it?
That's
awareness practice.
That's just practice. That's what we do. It's what ego does. And to take it personally, which is what I think self-hate wants to pile on top to keep me stuck.
Right. Because by now you shouldn't be, you should be staying perfectly present.
Right,
all
right.
The time.
All the time, exactly. Yeah. And if you're not, then for me, it's always the kids are ruined forever.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
There's no recovering it. So it's just, I too am so grateful. I'm so grateful for the recording practice because I didn't have my recorder last night, but I acted as if I did. I just started, you know, not only was I breathing, but I was also talking to the mentor. And the mentor, he does, like Sherry does, it was quoting, you know, it's Christmas. Susan? It's something like, it's Christmas. Jesus came into the world at Christmas. Jesus came to dispel self-hatred, and there is no time to indulge this. You know, it kind of combines both. You know? I love my mentor for that reason. But it was, I just...
Very compassionate.
Yeah, very compassionate. And I don't know how people, do it out there. All I know is that I'm very grateful to have found a tool that is so accessible.
Yes.
And and Sangha, you know, to come down and hear people who don't have the same content talking about the exact same thing.
And the person who practices making use of all the tools.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, Merry Christmas.
Tuesday, I experienced the mentor in a very immediate, different way from ever before, and it's pretty wonderful. Mm-hmm. And by Friday, that experience had altered, I'll say.
Altered.
Wasn't experiencing the mentor in the same way.
Uh-huh.
I've kind of been in despair about that since probably trying to get back, go back and get, trying to conjure that exact same experience.
Yeah.
And so when it was just said that the mentor is compassion, it all sort of opened back up again. I haven't seen that. Trying to conjure the mentor in a particular form, doing and saying a particular thing, really misses the point.
It's, yeah.
It feels like, I can almost believe in God because it feels, Tuesday it just felt like something manifested right there.
Yeah.
And from that came to me from somewhere else.
Yeah.
I how did I start those things? But anyway, I think all I want to communicate is thank you. I see you. I see this kind of spin in them.
Yeah. It got taken away, in a sense, by...
I think, I don't know if it gets taken away, or if it moves, like everything moves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was aware, Wednesday, Thursday, that chattering mind was trying to manipulate it.
Yeah.
And perhaps that is what happened. Just kind of got manipulated until the veil of illusion fell back. It's also true that talking about it tends to warp it.
Warp it. Getting it into words.
Yeah. So I wasn't going to talk about it. But then it kind of said, no, I'm not going anywhere. You wait for me, I don't need you. So I'm grateful for practice. I'm grateful for the group. Grateful for Sanya.
Yeah.
Kind of similarly, I had a big opening this week. I think I can't remember if it started on Tuesday or Wednesday. But I don't know, similar or not, but from, you know, just dropping into a state of grace, I feel like.
Dropping into a state of grace.
Where there's not any, just like giving everything over to life and just trusting it all is going to be well. And so there's no reason to think about anything or be afraid of anything or do anything but just kind of relax. And so yesterday was Sunday, yesterday was Saturday. So Friday, Thursday and Friday, it was really solid in that experience. Yesterday started to be a little bit mixed, where there's, I think kind of like what June's talking about, there's identity is coming in to, it's like at the beginning it's like the, you know, getting swept off your feet or something, where it's just, whoop, and it just goes.
Yeah.
And then, now identity's trying to make it happen and stuff.
So there's little...
Let me see. Yeah, maybe so. I'm not sure.
That was the sense I had with that.
Yeah.
What you were saying.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's language in it. It's like this little... It's like it gets tainted. It's just a little bit. It's a little bit, so it's a little bit colored by somebody who's having the experience, and then it starts to, he just starts to warp it, like June said.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, what conditioning, I was looking at that this morning. I mean, it's still very much around, but it's in and out, and also, yeah, anyway, it doesn't really matter.
So the experience, the grace is still around.
So I was looking at that this morning, and you know what conditioning would say about that is that well, there's one place, there's a place we're trying to get to, and it's something like that, and so and it just so makes all of other experience compares every other experience to that, and then you know there's contrasting and causing suffering. But, you know, what I was really getting is what practice, that's just not the way it is. You know, what practice says, I think, is it's about seeing through everything. It's not about getting someplace. And to have, you know, I have an experience like that, you know, it's one of those, you know, consolation. You get a little consolation every once in a while. But to expect that is just self-defeating and it's going to be full of unhappiness.
Yeah.
But instead to expect that whatever it was that produced that will also be there when the next thing happens, that they're to be seen and taken, unraveled, and then, you know, maybe down the road there's another period like that, or, you know, or maybe all along the way there's, there's that is kind of flooding in or filling the experience to some degree. But it's just, I don't know, it's just, it takes... What's interesting about that to me is that's the same thing as that place where...
Fill that in a little. That's the same thing as...
The understanding, it's basically saying it all will take care of itself.
Yeah, it's the living in grace.
in mm-hmm. a sense.
Yeah, it all will take care of itself. And sometimes there will be, sometimes that will look like something that feels really, really good to whatever, to maybe to a person or to the system or something. And sometimes it might feel painful. Or, you know, sometimes that involves identity, sometimes less so. Mm-hmm. But all of it is part of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's all a state of grace. It's just from a different point of view than just what we divide the world up into, kind of yes. what I really like and what I don't like as much.
Yeah. And it felt like one key word there was expect. If that begin to expect that might happen, mm-hmm. which then we're out of the moment, not available to whatever is in the moment.
Yeah, and then trying to get back, like Jim said, which is just making it go further and further away. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just can't say it exactly, but in the experience, it's embracing everything in experience into that. And it's funny because it's active. It's like, it felt like something I was doing, mm-hmm. but at the same time, well, I don't know. You know, it can't be a doing from conditioning, or that doesn't happen. You know,
right. Right.
Then it becomes a doing that's outside of it, instead of inside of it,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
then there's a separation there. But so that's, I know that's interesting. It's really active, but it's just active from a different place.
Yeah, it sounds in large part like accepting what is, mm-hmm. that the doing is in the, okay.
Yeah, and loving what is. It's kind of like loving that which mm-hmm. is underneath all the stuff, all the circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, the ground of being or the divine,
nice
or however
yeah.
you want to say it.
Yeah.
That's really what it felt like. And then suddenly it becomes, and that can only happen from inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just really subtly, there's a movement outside of it, trying to love it in that way, and now it's separate.
Yeah, and seeing that separation, and seeing that all of that is...
And that, too, is part of the state of grace.
Yeah.
And just trust, too. I can certainly express gratitude like other people for practice. And, you know, it's just practice, just grateful for all that has come before. In my own lifetime, and then everything before that too, that brought me to this and this to me, and
makes those experiences possible.
Yeah, and just it will take care of itself.
Yeah,
it really will. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to do really.
But relaxing, as you said.
Very relaxing.
Yeah,
and fearless, but not in a real kind of doing kind of way. But
mm-hmm.
just know there's just no reason to fear.
I can also really relate to that thinking. The grace for this person was a little bit more late breaking in the week. But there nonetheless. And so possibly even a little bit more fresh. And exactly that, what people are talking about that. The way I've really, really been looking at it, which is so helpful, is it feels like, for me, what happens is this incredible relief of mm-hmm. no longer being identified with the I.
Yeah.
And then the I attempts to have that.
To have to, own that relief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I want that. And of course,
yeah.
it doesn't. It doesn't like or want that.
Uh-huh.
But that is a great way to get, and I honestly don't know the language really here, but to get the being back identified with that.
Yeah, to
because
get that.
Because the being has the experience, and then what it feels like, I get funny images at this point, is the only choice ego, identity has at that point, is to get on board with the experience. In fact, an image I had of it last night was, it's like a train, you know, that it's just like, oh, it's joyful, it's moving, it's, you know, the energy is this train. And the only choice identity has is to get on that train and attempt to speed it up to get it to derail.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like. Really, in this, like,
So because there's a huge release of energy in it.
Yeah.
And to begin to then whip that energy into something that it is not, so yeah. Life, it feels like, is that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so normally the energy is siphoned off into being identified with an I. And in that, as the being isn't, that energy is released. And so what the identity attempts to do is to jump on board with that energy and again, you know, not try to damp it down immediately, but more just take it for its. Yeah. And in my experience, what it first does is kind of rev it up even more.
Mm-hmm. Celebrate how great it is to be, mm-hmm. sort of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And actually, in my case, because if one of the very strong karmic groups is doing it right, it will take that form. Oh, this is right.
Yeah.
I'm doing it right. And it's been so helpful to have the mantra of immediately when I see that there is no right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There is no right and wrong. There is no right and wrong.
Yeah.
And it really, really helps to just to reground.
Yeah, and it sounds like it has to come from recognition that there's being a takeover or an attempt to take over is happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of reclaiming that energy for the being.
Yeah. It's very, very tricky and subtle, like other people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the, you know, because then that can become, okay, so I'm going to have this mantra so that I don't lose it, so that I'll, right? And all the way along, the only issue, the only thing happening, the only thing that's causing the suffering is re-identifying with the I. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels like otherwise, the energy, of course, at least in my experience, often those places of grace can come from really, quote, low energy or difficult places, and just being with those.
Yes.
But it's so easy to immediately forget that. Because if I were to always keep that perspective, then the fact that life does this, you know, kind of making this motion of a wave up and down, up and down, ebb and flow, would become very obvious and not a problem at all. But it's the, oh, I like this, I don't like that, I like this, I don't like that.
It's, surfing the wave, not even, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've just been really, really playing with how that truly, you know, we always say it, wish there were new words, but that truly is not me. You know, that anxiety, that whatever, depression, that I don't like this, that I, whatever, it truly is not me.
Yeah.
And therefore, I don't have to do anything about it. I do not have to engage with it. I do not have to, I think for a long time, I really had this image of like trying to get the I to be joyful. It has no interest in that. In fact, it's a perfect setup because it's over there taunting me, you know, whoever that is, to shift the energy to joy with its arms crossed, knowing full well it won't go there.
Yeah, and implying in the instruction that you aren't already there, and you should be.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah. And so then, quote, it doesn't work,
right?
And that's that. There, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And that in just releasing all of it and not taking it on as mine or my problem, that is the joy.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Back in the joy that it would have you having to do something to get to.
Yeah.
That by not doing anything, there it is. Yeah.
That is a description of what I think is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for me anyway, sounds like brothers. it's like I watched it do it with all this other stuff in my life, all this other content and all these other things that I've seen. So it feels like I've had life provide me exactly with what it is that I think I need to see at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's amazing how clear it is all. And it's almost like it was instinctually picked by me. Like I had picked a subject that mm-hmm. I would be working on to focus on,
mm-hmm.
and bunch of other perfectly fine other topics to look at.
You chose work
with. And it's amazing how much, I'll just say it has something to do with compassion and kindness and loving kindness, say. And how much of the focus has been on the maybe the more intellectual side of it, like maybe say the wisdom side of it, like you know, like this seems like a good, you know,
something that can be noodled, perhaps.
I don't know if it can be noodled, but it's like it's good. It's all about talking. Like it seems like it has some sort of language, even if it's the mentor saying something. But there's this as I'm you know, just exploring it, sitting with it. It feels like there's a silence that this compassion exists in that is different, and feels like I'm having this new experience with whatever it is that in this in whatever is going on right now, where it's like that it exists in a place that any kind of language can all watch. You know, it's true that there's a whole bunch of other, you know, just, you know, like this and that, and then you know, then there's the silence, and you know, during meditation, and then there's going about, and there's all of a sudden there's just in this quiet place. It's like you know, Sharon talks about that percolator of joy that just it has that kind of, you know, quiet, languageless kind of place that feels a particular way, and in that things start to soften. And there's not quite this edge any longer. Like, it feels like there's this huge edge, like I'm going someplace. And whenever this drops in, it almost feels like there's no place to go. You're right here where you need to be. I guess if it had any language, that's kind of like what it would say.
Yeah.
And how I'm relating to what I've been hearing this morning is that conditioning is just completely thrilled to take on the task of making sure that I have that, you know, that's the experience that we're going to have, and
yes.
knows exactly how to recreate it, and
yes.
you know, so the image that I had with the train is that it's this crazy conductor. It's like, you know, the energy is just going fine. It's going on its path, but there's this, you know, Daffy Duck character. It's like, I think I can draw it. I know something about it, but just like at the front of the thing, driving it, you know, like, okay, I got it. This is where we're going.
yeah.
And this is the place where I'm just going to watch to see how, you know, if it takes it over. Okay, that's one more thing that it's decided to, you know, wrap itself into its, you know, way of. Because one thing I'll know is that it won't work, just like all the other things haven't worked. You know,
yeah.
I watched it. You know, if anything, you know, it's like it starts out in complete innocence, like with anything. You know, this just how I've had this experience of like the quiet and the compassion.
Yeah, a very, very soft and new experience.
New. And it's like it's working, and it's like, wow, this is wonderful. You know, and I've had that with you know, recently with interest in fitness. It happened. I've just watched like throughout the years, like interest in food, the cooking, you know. I was talking to my family this morning, and my brother was home, and it's interesting to think that I had gone through all throughout college, you know, like the experience that I had with cooking was macaroni and cheese, you know, from a box, from a hamburger helper, I think is what it was. I think those are the two things, and then there were frozen dinners, and my mom would just come by, and she would take me out someplace and make sure we had got a lot of food so that I could bring back and have to eat with for the week. And I think it's just pretty astonishing. Like, my brother's still in that place, but I think it's funny because there's this interest that happens, and it's like, yeah, I want to do this, and I'm just like, and then all of a sudden it just. The crazy conductor takes over and turns it into something completely not fun. And I watch how it complicates things and how it makes it not work.
Makes it not fun.
Not fun, not work. And it's interesting how it continuously follows that kind of pattern, but mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I think that just like what I heard earlier was like years of practice, I think it needs to, I think there's nothing wrong with it in that sense that this is another time that I get to see how it's yeah. doing what it's doing.
Yes, and without believing it.
Yes, yeah, without believing mm-hmm. it. Without, I mean, well, seeing how it's doing it again.
Yeah.
And seeing how it's doing it again, and knowing that it's not going to come from an idea about how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. That it's going, that it's the experience lives someplace other than that.
Yeah.
And so I think it hates stop. I think it really, really hates just stop it.
Uh-huh. That completely derails it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Completely derails it. It'll be interesting to see how it tries to you stop it.
Yeah.
But I think there's nothing else to do other than just doing whatever it is there to do.
Keep on keeping
keep
on.
Keep on, keep on. Mm-hmm. Just like that part of the email class that we're on now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Well, that was lovely to hear. An image just popped into my mind a couple minutes ago. We've seen aerial photos of rivers that snake through wherever it is, really sharp, lots of. And the image of having the Army Corps of Engineers looking at it and saying, no, this won't do. And going in and dredging and digging until they've got a straight line from A to B. Mm-hmm. Oh, there, that's better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a painful image.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like
thinking of that process and mm-hmm. me as the Army Corps of Engineers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With big bulldozers.
Manipulating things until it gets it, like it wants it, or says it wants it.